soul winning works. And so many people are down on soul winning and they don't think it works. And there were so many naysayers going into this thing. There were so many people who said it's going to be a failure. It's going to be a flop. You're not going to accomplish anything. You're not going to get these Muslims saved. You're not going to get anybody saved. You're wasting your time. Nobody wants to hear you. And I got so many emails saying, you know, I live in Dearborn and I don't want to hear what you have to say. And we're, you know, we don't care about this and blah, blah, blah. And so many people trying to discourage you and bring you down, telling you it's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not. And look, whenever you try and do something for the Lord, you know, some things work better than others, and sometimes things don't work that well. But you know what? You never know unless you try. Right. And you get out there and work and try things. But you know what? In the end, you're always a winner if you're preaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. God always gives us the victory. He always causes us to conquer in the end, spiritually. But there are so many naysayers. In fact, there was some guy who wrote an article for the Huffington Post, which is a pretty big news organization, mocking our efforts to go to Dearborn and go soul winning. And he said, these people in Dearborn, they don't even speak Arabic. They're third, fourth, fifth generation. Fifth generation, they didn't come in the 1800s, people, okay? Get real. But he's like, oh, these people are third, fourth, fifth. None of them even speak Arabic and blah, blah. Look, in the neighborhoods we went, 90% of the people who answered the door were Arabic, and 100% of them spoke Arabic. There was not one Arab that came to the door that was not fluent in Arabic. Not one. So the movie that we were handing out in Arabic was perfect. I mean, they wanted it. They said they're going to watch it and everything like that. And we talked to them. And oh, these are third, fourth, fifth generation. We talked to people that said, I was in Palestine 2 weeks ago. I was in Syria a month ago. I mean, a lot of them were freshly there. But the naysayers will tell you, hey, soul winning doesn't work. And even the Christians will tell you, oh, soul winning doesn't work. And you know who's saying soul winning doesn't work? It's the Christians who don't want to get off their lazy behinds and go out and do something for the Lord. Right. So they want to tell themselves, oh, it doesn't work. So I'm just fine sitting on my lazy rear end because it doesn't work anyway. No, it works. You don't work. Amen. Whenever anybody says to me soul winning doesn't work, I say, no, you don't work.
Amen.
Because if you work, it works.
Amen.
And the Bible promises us that it will work because the Bible says in Psalm 126, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And I love what I heard a preacher say once. He said, if you're not seeing people saved, either the gospel's not being preached or the gospel's lost its power. Those are the only two options. If people are not getting saved, the gospel is not being preached, or the gospel has lost its power. And I say amen to that, because the Bible says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, the people that we got saved, we got 46 people saved as a team, as a group effort throughout the whole day.
Yeah, but how many of them were Muslims?
First of all, I say, who cares?
Amen.
A soul's a soul's a soul. Who, you know, I don't care who I won to the Lord. You know what? A lot of the people that we won to the Lord were black. Praise God.
Amen.
So what? Who cares? You know, a soul is a soul. But you know what? Many Muslims did get saved. I don't have the exact number of how many of the people we got saved were Muslim. I don't think it's that important. Just to go real conservative, at least 10 of the people that we won to Christ were Muslims. Just to be real conservative.
Amen.
But it might have been a lot more than that. I don't know the exact percentages. But many of the Muslims got saved. Now, most of the Muslims that got saved were young adults or teenagers. You know, they're not going to be the dyed-in-the-wool, 40, 50, 60 years old. You know, most of the Muslims that we got saved were teenagers and young adults. But you know what? That's the best time to reach them. And most of the Muslims that I've won to Christ in my life were in that age group of early 20s to young teens, because that's the best time to reach them. I heard another preacher say this. You know, he went out soul winning and somebody asked him, how many people did you get saved? And he said, 2.5.
What?
And they said, oh, I get it. 2 adults and 1 small child. He said, no, 2 small children and 1 adult, because the adult's already wasted half his life. Because it's better to get people saved, the younger the better. Thank God I got saved when I was 6. I wouldn't want to get saved when I was 60. I'd rather get saved when I was 6. And so you get to them when they're kids and teenagers and young adults, and guess what? They've been less brainwashed by the lies of their religion. And so thank God many people did get saved that were Muslims. But you know what? I wouldn't give a rip if we went in there and preached to a bunch of Muslims and then the only people who got saved were agnostics or Catholics or whatever, because a soul is a soul. Amen. And I just want to get people saved. Amen. And I even told people, I said, you know what? I said, if I spend the whole day in Dearborn and I don't get anybody saved, then I'm going to the Detroit ghetto that night and I'm going to go get somebody saved in the Detroit ghetto. I'm getting somebody saved by hook or by crook. But thank God we got a bunch of people saved in Dearborn itself. We didn't have to go into the, enter at your own risk, Detroit. I've gone soul winning in places like that. You know, if you show up at 11 a.m., you show up at 2 p.m., and you're wearing a suit and a tie and a Bible, they're not just going to blow you away. The people that are getting killed in Detroit and the people that are getting killed in South Chicago and Gary, Indiana, you know what they are? Gang members and police officers. It's not, if you're not involved in the drug war, you just, you're usually going to be fine. People are afraid of their own shadow, and God will protect us. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. But look at Matthew chapter 13, because I really want to emphasize this thing that soul winning works. And you say, well, what do you mean by soul winning? Here's what I simply mean by soul winning. Walking up to someone and opening your Bible and showing them how to be saved.
Amen.
Just opening your mouth and telling them the gospel using scripture. And it is a biblical word because the Bible says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life and he that winneth souls is wise. Bringing forth fruit unto the Lord, winning souls. The Bible also talks about the unbelieving husband being won by the wife. You know, it is a scriptural terminology that we use. And let me tell you something. It works. How could it not work? How could preaching the gospel not get somebody saved eventually? I mean, that's what the Bible says would happen. But a lot of people are mixed up on this thing of what it means to go forth and weeping, bearing precious seed. Because there is even an organization known as Bearing Precious Seed. And this organization, Bearing Precious Seed, I thank God that they print good Bible versions. You know, they print the King James and they print other good Bible versions in foreign languages. But, a lot of the people associated with that ministry, they think, oh, yeah, here's the answer. We print a bunch of Bibles, we print a bunch of tracts and give them out to people. And that's how we get the gospel out. But, when the Bible says bearing precious seed, that it's talking about opening your mouth and preaching, right? It's not talking about handing out a leaflet, my friend. In fact, I'll prove it to you. What does the Bible say? Matthew 13, let Jesus interpret the parable of the sower. What's the sower? Sowing the seed, right? The Bible said bearing precious seed. Okay, Jesus will interpret it for us. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. We're in Matthew 13, verse 19. When anyone what? When anyone what?
Heareth.
When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not rooted himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word. Group one, hears the word. Group two, hears the word. Group three, hears the word. Group four, hears the word. What does it mean, my friend, to sow the seed? It's when you preach the word and somebody hears it.
Amen.
Somebody hears it today. And too many people are using this cop-out of a gospel tract. And I know this isn't popular and people get real offended when I preach this, but you know what? Like it or lump it, it's the truth, and somebody needs to stand up and say it.
Amen.
That going up to somebody and giving them a tract is not preaching the gospel. And it's a cop-out where you say, oh, I gave that person the gospel because you give them a tract, because most of those tracts go in the trash, and even if people read them, they don't usually understand them anyway. The best way to get somebody saved, the biblical way to get somebody saved, biblically bearing the precious seed, is to walk up to you and open my mouth and talk to you, and you hear the word of God. That's what's a hearing. Hearing, 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 hearing. Oh, here, read this. Not what the Bible says. See, God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And so we need to go out and open our mouths. Man, woman, boy, and girl, open your mouth and tell people about Jesus. And it's a lot easier to hand them a piece of paper and then run away like a coward than it is to open the Bible and say, let me show you how to be saved. Open our mouth and talk to them and say, hey, Romans 3:23, Romans 3:10, John 3:16, John 3:18, John 3:36, John 6:46, whatever, you know, and preach to them and speak to them. And the Holy Spirit upon you, this is what gets the job done. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. But you know what we see a lot of today? First of all, there's no going forth and weeping. Because you know what the weeping there represents? That you care.
Right.
You know, why would you weep? Because you care. Because you love people. Now, here's the thing. If you love someone, you know what you're going to do if you love someone? You're going to walk up to them and you're going to explain to them lovingly how to be saved. Right? You're going to talk to them. You're going to be nice to them. And you're going to try to convince them to get saved. And you're going to think about someone that you love that's not saved. How would you talk to them? You know, maybe it's a mother, a father, a brother, a sister, a friend at work. How would you talk to them? You would be nice and you would try to plead with them and beg them to be saved. And you'd show them scripture and you'd be nice. Okay, would you walk in to Thanksgiving? If you really wanted to get your extended family saved, would you walk into Thanksgiving with a bullhorn? Hey, everybody, you're going to hell. You need to repent. Go to your hell on your way to hell today. You're deceived. Why not? You know, here's why you wouldn't do it. Because it wouldn't work. And you know what? If bullhorning worked, if holding up obnoxious, stupid signs worked, and bullhorning worked, you know what? I'd do it. I'd do it. I mean, if it worked, let's do it. You know why? Because I care. Because I love people and want them to be saved. And if it takes a bullhorn to get them saved, I'll use a bullhorn to get them saved. If it takes an obnoxious, stupid sign, I'll take an obnoxious, stupid sign. But you know what? It doesn't work. It's stupid. It's not biblical. No, it's nowhere. It's not found in the Bible. It's not the example we see in the Bible. You know, we look at the great soul winners in the Bible. Did they ever trim and sugarcoat the message? Absolutely not. But you know what they did, though? They spoke the truth in love. And you know what? They did point out sometimes common ground, but they didn't trim the message. See, the problem with people like Rick Warren, they'll get up and talk to the Muslims and find the common ground, but then they forget to tell them the part about how they're all going to hell and how they need to repent and, you know, repent of their Islam and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Okay, that's the problem. But, you know, we see the Apostle Paul on Mars Hill, and what does he do? He says to them, you're too superstitious. Is that a compliment or an insult? He tells them, look, you're too superstitious. And he says, you have an altar to the unknown God. You know, he said, him therefore you ignorantly worship, I'll declare unto you. Let me tell you who the unknown God is. He's the only God. Okay. But he also will point out, hey, here's what some of your poets have said. And basically, he'll find common ground and talk to them. For example, Stephen, you know, when he preaches to the Jews, he talks about all the stuff that they agree on and everything. But then he says, look, here's where you guys are wrong. And we see all throughout the Bible examples of people like Jesus and the apostles talking to people and giving them the gospel and so forth. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with being nice to people. And there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, here's something that we agree on. Here's what we both agree on. But now let me show you the part that we don't agree on, you know, and that you need to see here from the Word of God. But this obnoxious, stupid bullhorning, not only does it not work, this street preaching, open air evangelism, street preaching and tract distribution and sign holy. You know what? These bunch of fools, not only do they not get people saved, even if you talk to them, they'll tell you, oh, it was so amazing. We got two people saved last year. Yeah, there's somebody dying every few seconds and going to hell and you're getting two people saved a year. That ain't going to cut it.
Right.
You're failing. But then they say, oh, you know, well, we're doing it and we go out there and we suffer persecution. No, you're going out and making people mad because you're being an idiot.
Yeah.
And then you're saying we're being persecuted. They're throwing water bottles at you because you're acting a fool. And what you're doing makes no sense. And then it poisons the well for people like us who want to come in and do the real big boy soul winning. You know, we want to come in and do the big boy soul, the real soul winning, the mature Christian soul winning, the real thing that actually works with the actual tear in the eye. And then a lot of people are hardened and we have to undo the damage that these other idiots have done. And they're hurting the cause of Christ.
Yeah.
It's really a joke, my friend. But honestly, soul winning works.
Amen.
A tear in the eye works. Bearing precious seed works. Using the word of God and preaching house to house, every house, highways and hedges, it works today. And that's why the devil hates it. I don't think the devil even cares about these fools going to a queer pride parade and screaming and bullhorning and holding signs to a bunch of people that are already reprobates anyway.
Right.
You know, what he does care and want to stop is when people actually go forth weeping, bearing the precious seed and go house to house and go with the Bible and the true gospel and a tear in the eye and love in their heart and the Holy Ghost upon them because they get things done because it works.
Amen.
Tracts don't work. Street preaching doesn't work. Obnoxious signs don't work, and I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. And your tract ministry is a cop-out where you make people think that they're getting all these people saved because we handed out 10,000 tracts. No, you need to open your mouth and preach and not be scared and shy of doing what God told you to do, my friend.